Whether it's financial security, a free vacation home, time for traveling, more quality time with family, or even early retirement, whatever you choose to do with the income and benefits that come with successfully investing in short-term rentals, you know that it is certainly life-changing. This podcast will help you and guide you and support you on your journey to five-star STR success. Welcome to 5-Star SDR Success. My name is Kenny, and I'm the Chief Marketing Officer here at 5-Star SDR Success Education, as well as Brandon's two other short-term rental companies, STR Wealth Brokers, his short-term rental brokerage in Georgia, as well as Southern Charm Vacay, his high-end boutique short-term rental company. I say all of that to say that Brandon obviously is a wealth of knowledge in short-term rentals and real estate in general. His unique value-added perspective to short-term rentals really stands out in the education space. Brandon's flipped over 2,000 homes and had over 100 long-term rentals, and in the past 7 years has built up a portfolio of 20 short-term rentals himself. So it's really cool to get to learn from somebody with that much experience. Now, last week in Brandon's private Facebook group, 5-Star SDR Success, he did a special presentation live on Zoom giving this insider's access, his expert perspective on the 2022 STR market and how it pertains to new hosts and experienced hosts that want to scale. It was a really powerful presentation and we all gained a ton from the information. Now, unfortunately, it was not streamed live on his Facebook group. And unfortunately, also, the video recording kind of didn't work out. So what Brandon really wanted to do was be able to share this presentation with you guys in audio format. So you guys are really in for a special treat. Without further ado, here's Brandon and the 2022 STR Confidential.
All right, guys, I wanted to say thank you guys again for coming to the STR Confidential 2022. Today, we're going to give you my inside scoop about everything that I feel like the insider's access to the 2022 STR market, the truth about new hosts that they don't want you to know, the facts about scaling and why you must, and you're right all along, the real STR opportunity. So as we are getting started, I'm going to pay attention to see if anybody comes in late so that I can middle them in. But here we go. So first and foremost, there's more people. First and foremost, the STR market, we're in between 3.0 to 4.0. And if you don't know what that means, is several years ago, Airbnb came in and disrupted the market, as you guys all know. And to be honest with you, it's been completely transforming the vacation market. You had people that were renting out their couches. You had people that were renting out their rooms. And that's been really good, right? That's been really, really good for the people who got in to begin with. As you know, that most of us were not in this into the short-term rentals at this point. So, that was 1.0, just like, what the hell is this? We're trying to figure this thing out and so on. So, switching to 2.0. That was 10, 12, 13 years ago, whenever Airbnb started. 3 years after that, I would say, is about where the mom and pop started to get into the business. You'll find that more and more people were getting into this business at that time. And they were just like, you know what? I think I can make a little extra money trying to rent out maybe a long-term rental, converting that, maybe renting it out a little bit more on a short-term duration. And or you saw people that were already into the vacation market saying, hey, this is another opportunity so that we can go live and get a little bit more people coming in and make a little more bonus, or money or income. And they did that. That was 2.0. That was when a lot of people got into the industry. And they found out that this thing could actually make a little more money. It was at the point where the mom and pops of the short-term rental markets were kind of like filling this thing out. Like, man, I like this. I like this. I'm actually making more than I would on a long-term rent, and or my vacation rentals are starting to make more money. So why not? So that's what 2.0 was. In the last, 4 years ago, you saw 3.0. more really like 2 years ago specifically. So myself, my wife came in 2.0, we got into this business 7 years ago. And if I only knew then what I know now, I would have dropped everything I was doing and got into this business immediately. I would have, stopped flipping a long time ago. And unfortunately I started flipping recently. Late last year, because I saw and I started forecasting and realizing what was going on. But we're actually in 3.0. This is where mass adoption takes place. And COVID definitely helped that. It made us realize as people, as Americans, that we wanted to, well, I think most of us are here in the United States. That's why I say it like that. But a lot of us got to the point where we were at the point where we just wanted to stay within the U.S. and be left alone. We didn't want to deal with all the travel and stuff. And we all know this, right? We all know this at this point. But at that time, real estate was kind of like, oh, iffy, and travel was iffy, but we didn't realize that the pent up demand was going to change things. And it made it where people started traveling full time. And now we're having when people are just quitting jobs, I forget what they call it now, but people are quitting jobs and or they're working from home more so they can bounce around from property to property. And I've read studies recently where people were saying that millennials don't even want to have a home. We're in renter nation. If you ever listen to Grant Cardone, we're in renter nation. As hyperinflation is going up and things are changing for the better or for the worse, we don't know. People are starting to get to the point where they just don't want to own anymore. So that leaves a huge opportunity for us. I think right now we're going from 3.0 where mass adoption takes place. You see people like my wife and I, and maybe some of you who were in this business way back then, before it converged from 2.0 to 3.0, you were part of the 2.0. You were seeing the opportunity and you were experiencing some major appreciation as the real estate markets rise, and you were starting to see some major increase with income rising as well. But you started seeing over the last few years, specifically since COVID, that everybody and their brother wants to be in short-term rentals. And some of you may be that person today. Some of you may be one of the people who haven't bought a home yet and you're really wanting to get in, because a lot of people are really trying to get involved in this and you see that there is an opportunity. Well, I want to tell you there still is opportunity, in my opinion, being in this business for almost 20 years in real estate, flipping over 2,000 homes, having over 100 long-term rentals, as well as, been involved in multifamily and commercial and so on. I just want you to understand that now that I own 20 short-term rentals, I see that there is still opportunity in this space as we converge over from 3.0 to 4.0. So what again is 3.0? 3.0 is mass adoption. Just like you see, everybody wants to be a real estate agent. Everybody wants to be a flipper. Everybody wants to be a wholesaler. If you're in these Facebook groups, guys, you see it every day, right? So what you're going to see is everybody wants to be a short-term rental owner. Well, guess what? Guess what happens then? It makes the market get diluted. As I was quitting flipping last year, I was realizing that even though I had proper systems and things like that, I always had to reinvent myself. And I was really, really frustrated. What happened to me was my wife and I went on a trip last year. We went to Greece and then we went to Italy, and we were like, man, we want more of this. We want more of this travel lifestyle, and we want more of the opportunity to design and help people and so on. So I really, be honest with you, I woke up in the middle of the night last year, one evening, 1 month. And I felt like, a vision came to me and it was like, man, I got to go all in. I'm saying all this to help you guys so you can understand and clarify and clarity with where you're at and where the market is. But I felt like this is the time to go all in. The reason why I didn't go all in before was because I was unsure, but now I am so sure that this is the time to go all in. And that may be good for me, maybe not good for you guys, but if you haven't started yet, this is the time for you to start. And I'm going to go through all of this here in a second, but I want you to understand 3.0 is mass adoption. From a busy professional to somebody that has a business, to somebody that's working in corporate America, doctors, lawyers, U.S. People from all over the U.S. and even Canada. I'm seeing those people come to my brokerage, STR Wealth Brokers, with people who are just wanting to get into the market. And they see that this is happening, and they don't want to let, they see that the opportunity is happening. They don't want to let the opportunity pass them by. So what you want to see now is is going into 4.0, we're in between, we're at 3.5 going into 4.0. Right now, I'd say we probably got about 2 more years to really seize the opportunity. And what do I mean by that? I feel like that occupancy will stay steady. Let's just go back to 2022, guys. AirDNA put out a report and it said that occupancy will stay steady this year alone, but the average daily rate will decrease by 5% because of increased supply. That means all of us who are trying to get into this market, we're going to be dumping on supply and it's going to stagnate the market a little bit unless you think different. And that's what I'm here to talk to you guys about today. That is mass adoption. Everybody's throwing up properties left and right. And there are ways to differentiate yourself so that you don't be caught by mass adoption. And I'll be telling you about that here in a few minutes. Also, urban demand will be back on track this year from what AirDNA was saying. So if you haven't looked up the AirDNA 2022 report, it's actually called the AirDNA 2022 Outlook. I highly recommend you to read it. It's got a bunch of logistics in there and statistics, and it's going to be able to help you out to understand a little bit deeper than what I'm saying here that I can only gloss over by a few minutes. But let's go ahead and talk about 4.0. As many of us are buying property, we're putting it on short-term rental, on Airbnb and VRBO and adopting systems and creating a brand. We are, even if you only want one or two, you gotta listen to this. We are at a point where people are starting to make really good returns on investment. If you're like me and you do value adds, I'm seeing 50 to 100% plus ROI, COC ROI, that is cash on cash return on investment. If you do the BRRRR strategy, you can actually purchase property, hard money. You can rehab it. You can rent it out after you're rehabbing it. You can refinance it. You can put it all onto a permanent mortgage after that. And you can get your down payment back from a hard money lender, plus possible good, maybe even more equity. And that money that comes to you is not taxable because it's equity and not income. You can actually do this smartly with just a little bit of money behind you and get yourself into strong cash on cash returns on investments, just like I have. But look, you need to be able to get to the point where you realize that people that are doing the second home loans as of current interest rates, everything's changing now. They were probably getting anywhere between 50 at least in my market, they were getting anywhere between 50 to 60% cash on cash return on investment. And then we're also seeing people who are buying cash getting 15 to 20% cash on cash return on investment. People who were putting 20% down for DSCR loans, they were probably seeing 30 to 50% cash on cash return on investment. And I'm going to tie that all back in here in a few. But what 4.0 is, mass adoption is now. What happens after mass adoption takes place? Well, the companies, the REITs, the funds, they see that there is an opportunity. It is an STR income opportunity, and they will raise millions, if not billions of dollars. And I know a few of them that are actually, putting their funds together with PPMs, private placement memorandums, and they are actually piling in the dough right now to be able to enter into this space. And one of my good friends, Eric, his brother owns actually stock in his brother's company, but they have 2,000 units that they're getting into the space and they're going to be buying. I mean, they got enough money to buy 2,000 units. So what happens when all of us in the next 2 years own these properties and there's not a lot of inventory left? If you go back to the AirDNA 2022 report, you'll see that there's not enough inventory and people are competing left and right. So what happens when you do finally have inventory, when the big dogs come in and they see that there's nothing left? Well, guess what? Those of you who have brands, those of you who have proven brands with proven systems and techniques in place, whether you have 3, whether you have 20, you may be able to double or triple the amount of money that you have in equity on these properties if you were to have a sell-off. And in fact, my exit strategy, possibly in the next 4 or 5 years, is to sell off a multi-million dollar portfolio. Right now, between you guys and myself, I am I have about $10 million in equity. I'm holding on. I could cash out right now, even though that we're at the point where the market is extremely, let me add a couple more people in. They're popping up all of a sudden. I am at the point where I can walk away with about $10 million at this point, and I just don't want to because I feel like I can double, maybe even triple that as these people enter the space, as the hedge funds and the REITs enter the space. So that is the insider's access to 2022 STR market. You are in 3.5 from 3.0 to 4, and it is insane. Right now, there is so much opportunity, and I think you have about 2 more years left to buy this, buy short-term rentals to really make impact if you want to have something that you have built that is tangible and you can walk away with a multi-million dollar empire. Well, let's talk about what if I don't really care about that, Brandon. Maybe you guys aren't like me. Maybe you're not a hardcore entrepreneur, investor, and whatever. That's completely fine. You can enter into the space and you can have property that are still at, even though you're probably going to be paying more right now in 2022 than you were in 2019 or 2018. When a lot of us were buying, you're still going to get into the opportunity and you're still going to be able to make great cash on cash return on investment. And you're still going to, you buy, if you scale to 3 or 4 or 5, you might be able to replace your income if you buy now. So there is a lot of competition in the space. There is a lot of people entering the space that is mass adoption. So right now, guys, as we wrap up the insider's access to the 2022 STR market, we will go over this one last time. 1.0. That was when people who were just getting into the space, when Airbnb really kind of like disrupted the industry. That was, 13 years ago? I have to go back and read the Airbnb book. Let's just call that 13 years ago for the sake of argument here, just after the recession. That was 1.0. People were renting out couches. People were renting out rooms. Outside of that, you also have 2.0, where mom and pops like myself came into the market and we started kind of fiddling with it and we realized we can make additional income. And it was very, very tangible. It was actually very different and it was good. We were making pretty decent money at it. 3.0 is mass adoption. That's where a lot of you who are new, who are getting into the space, because you see and you hear about all these opportunities and you like the idea of having lifestyle assets. That's incredible, right? 4.0 is where you are going to see that the hedge funds and the REITs are going to be entering into the space and they were going to have major buyouts. And those of you who are looking for a successful exit, some of you may not, but some of you may, you can actually walk away with double or triple the amount of profit. So that's kind of where you want to be. All right. So let's go on to the truth about new hosts that they don't want you to know. Let me sip on a glass of water here. All right. So we're going to get to that. I saw a question pop up. I can't read it right now, but I saw that somebody said that there's not a lot of COCROI, or at least a high enough one in markets that they're looking into. I'm actually getting to that here in a minute. So truth about new hosts that they don't want you to know. People like me who've been doing this for a while, I will actually say I want you in. But a lot of people are like, no, I don't want you guys getting in. The reason why is because you're mass adopting the market. You're making it very, very tough to buy homes. When people are doing this all over the US, when everybody gets involved, it gets really, really tough. Here's the thing. I want you guys to understand that the market is not going to bust. We're not in a recession right now. A lot of people feel like we're about to go into a recession because real estate's at its all-time highs. I completely doubt that. There is no logic behind it. If you really study economics right now, you'll understand that we still have all-time lows. Even with interest rates going to raise 3 times this year, you're going to see that a homeowner occupant loan, primary resident loan is going from 3% interest to maybe 4% interest. Second home loans are going from 3.5% to maybe 4.5%, 5% interest. Guess what? Those loans, those rates were actually rates prior to 2019. I don't know if you guys remember that, but the last 2 years, we didn't have these kind of returns. We didn't have these kind of returns at all. My God, before I was, when I was in real estate, in 2018, I would have been dying for these interest rates. To have these kind of interest rates that we have available to us now, even with interest rates going up to help slow down the market, to give us a correction, it's still all-time lows. So I want you guys to be excited. Those of you that are worried about the market, we're in a shortage in housing in America. Too many people are having babies. Those babies are turning into teenagers, and those teenagers are turning into adults. And people need to buy homes. thing is there's just not a lot of affordable housing. So he or she who owns real estate right now and or plans to buy real estate in the near future will actually have a proven asset that is going to create wealth. And I'll talk to you guys about the five wealth generators here in a moment, but I want you to understand the economy is fine. There is not going to be a recession, at least not in the near future, in the next 2 or 3 years. Will we have a correction? Will we have a slowdown? It's probably going to hit people who are wanting to buy their next house. They're probably going to have a little bit less house that they can afford because interest rates are going up. And people who are you know, seeing that jobs are very demanding because nobody wants to work, they're going to get pissy and they're going to probably start their own business because it's too demanding. So people are going to actually be pulling back on their spending, but people will always vacation, and we'll tie that in. So tying that in the short-term rentals, if you study it out in the recession back in 2008, people were still going into these drivable, these quick flights, these kind of travel destinations all over the U.S., and it didn't stop anybody. By all means, I lost everything in 2008, and guess what? I live in Georgia. We drove down to Florida a couple times. We went to the mountains. I scraped up every little bit of dollar I could spend to go somewhere to hang out with my wife and kids, but we just couldn't afford it on our own, so we brought a couple of families in. And I knew a bunch of people that were doing that then. And if something ever changed, that's what's going to happen. So drivable destinations like beaches, beach homes, and mountain homes, those are the kind of destinations you want. I personally don't like rural. I personally don't like metropolitan homes. I do have a metropolitan home in Atlanta, but it's just for a little bit of asset allocation. But I'm not going to build I'm not going to build my whole inventory around it. I don't believe in that personally. Don't want metro and I don't want rural. I want vacation markets, in my opinion. All right. So some markets are saturated. So I saw on my Facebook, I asked everybody, what's some things that you guys are feeling like is some Debbie Downers in the industry trying to get into the market? They say that some markets are saturated. Here's the thing. Not all markets are saturated. I personally would not be buying in Gulf. I did buy in Gulf Shores. I am not buying in Gatlinburg. I think that it's in year four of 5-year bull run. And 4 years ago, that home over there was worth $200,000. Now that same home is worth $750,000 to $800,000. In my mind, as a real estate investor, I'm not going to buy there. Will I buy in Gatlinburg? Quite possibly, but I'm not going to pay those down prices. So would I pay attention to the market? If something came about and I really wanted to be out there for asset allocation, I'm going to buy a property that is in foreclosure, or I'm going to do direct seller marketing. That's another topic for another day. But I will find the older people who are wanting to get out, call them the triple D's, divorce, death, or whatever. I don't know, disability. People that want to get rid of houses. I was going to say double D's, but that didn't sound politically correct. My apologies. I just said it anyways. this is the STR confidential. So I'm giving you guys confidential information here. But so this is how I've always bought properties, even in Blue Ridge right now. I'm doing all these different techniques. And you can buy through realtors, and I own a brokerage, and some of you guys may be working with me and my agents, and I appreciate that. But if you don't want to pay premium prices, then you have to buy off grid. I'm not saying that you can't find a property that's in the MLS that is a good deal. You can. We do it all the time for clients. What we do is we help them get into markets that are like tier two going into a tier one. So let's move on with that. A lot of people say that you have to be in these big vacation markets, these awesome badass markets that are going to just continue to boom for decades before and decades to come. Well, that is right. You do want that. But when you're in a very saturated market like a Gatlinburg or maybe a Panama City Beach, you guys understand that they are peaking in prices. So what would I do? I don't buy in those kind of markets. You may or may not agree with me, and that's completely fine. I don't. I'm telling you my perspective and my unique opinion. I buy in piggyback markets just outside of those areas where I can pull in overflow traffic, where I can get a property that is a third of the price of those major, major markets. And then as that area keeps expanding, I can buy properties that are going to appreciate dramatically. Think of a Sevierville. Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge was always Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, but then it's trickled down to Sevierville over the years. So markets like that. Now you are gambling with regulation and regulation. I get it. I understand that. I personally am not a gambler, but I will gamble on real estate. And I'm not telling you, you guys got to do what I do, but I am a 100% self-employed real estate investor. If I feel like that I'm going to buy a property and I'm going to do a piggyback city, I will buy a property that's close enough where I will get that forced appreciation from a value add as well as natural appreciation. And then when those markets overflow, then it helps me grow my net worth. So what I've done in my own market here in Blue Ridge, I own property just outside of Blue Ridge and LJ. I do own several properties in Blue Ridge and LJ, but I own property in Talking Rock and Jasper. I own property in Hiawassee. Now I'm seeing Hiawassee a couple of years later really blow up. It's becoming a really awesome area. Helen, Georgia, if you haven't seen this, it is one of the top 25 destinations in the U.S. for travel right now. Helen, Georgia. It's in an AirDNA report. Check it out. We've been selling over there. I actually helped a good friend of mine. He got over there a couple of years ago, and it wasn't a major vacation market. So here's what I want you to understand. It's okay to buy into major vacation markets. I bought into Blue Ridge and LJ and all that several years ago, and now they become from a tier two market to a tier one. So what if you start looking for those markets that are a little bit, and I'm not trying to hurt my brokerage here, but I will help you guys. If anybody wanted to work with my brokerage, you can reach out to me in a DM or PM. This is not a plug for that. We can actually help you get into the piggyback markets here in the North Georgia Mountains. And there's several of them. There's about 12 of them. But it's not a sales pitch for that. This is basically to help you understand when you're going in and you're looking for a property in a Gulf Shores, maybe you should look into a Fort Morgan area. When you're looking for a property in a Blue Ridge, maybe you should go into a Morganton and a Blairsville and a Suchis, so on. So those little piggyback markets around the corner from there may not be regulated, but you know what? You're buying at ridiculously low prices. So in the event, if something happens, this is somebody's fear that they wrote on my Facebook group, what a future regulation puts me out of business. Well, guys, we're all going to be dealing with that. What if Blue Ridge, shut down? The chances are probably not going to happen. They are regulated and you can't rent inside city limits. You can only do it in the county. But what if Brandon Thompson has regulation that hits him and it really causes a trickle effect? Well, guess what? It happened to me in Savannah, Georgia.
Have you joined the 5-Star STR Success Facebook group yet? It's a real estate investing community that focuses on creating wealth and designing your dream life with short-term rentals. There's weekly training, property showcases, money mindset, tools, tips, tricks, resources, and so much more. Head on over to facebook.com/groups/5starSTRsuccess to join, or head on over to 5starSTRsuccess.com. That's the number 5starSTRsuccess.com and join the community.
So I bought a property right before Savannah, Georgia got regulated years ago for short-term rental. I bought it as my second home. I realized I didn't want to make that mortgage payment. So I heard about Airbnb 7 years ago. I'm like, well, I need to put this property on the market. And I had really never heard about regulation at that point. And I've been 13 years, almost maybe 12 years into the real estate industry, into the business, but never in short-term rentals at that point. So I put a property on the market, and I'm not telling you guys need to do this. I'm not saying that this is advice, but this is what I did. I found out shortly after that Savannah, Georgia regulated the city, and I had to go in and I'm losing my train of thought here. I had to go in and make a decision. Do I keep renting this out because I love it? It's my second home and I do like the money that I've been making on it. Or do I sell it? I'm like, no, you know what? And I'm not telling you guys to do this, but this is what Brandon did. I'm like, I'm going to take my chances. I'm going to go ahead and do this illegally. And I'm not encouraging anybody to break the law. I didn't really understand regulation back then. And I do now. This is just a story for example purposes. So I rented it out for about 2 more years later. And then maybe 4 years into owning this property for 5 years, I started realizing that this is not a good thing. People were actually saying that they were getting fined. And I kept on hearing about people getting fined with their short-term rentals in Savannah if they didn't have a license. So I went in and I called in to get a license and they had already capped out. So I'm like, okay, well, that's not good. Well, hopefully I can stay under the radar. And in that process, I'm going to sell my home. This happened in 2020. This happened in 2020, just as the market went crazy because of COVID. So I sold it. So here's the exit strategy, guys. If future regulation puts you out, you sell the house. You've got five wealth generators. If you catch yourself in a situation where you're in a piggyback market, and you're willing to take a gamble, even though you're not a gambling person like me, you see that it changes on you last minute. Well, you got two options. You keep doing it and trying to figure out a way through it if you can. And if you can't, because they completely banned them, just like they did in Highlands, North Carolina, inside city limits, well, either they're going to either grandfather you in, or if they completely banned them, then you have the option of selling the property. And one of those wealth generators I was talking about is the loan pay down every month. As you've owned this, let's just say you've owned it for 3 or 4 years and something changes on you, outside of a, I keep talking about Georgia in the Southeast, so that's where I'm at personally, but an outside city, like a piggyback market, like a Morganton or a Blairsville comes in and they do ban it because they just don't want it. It's disrupting their residences. Then you got two options. Just pay it. Pay it forward and sell it to a homeowner. Make your profit, exit, do a 1031 and roll it into your next market. And that's what I did in Savannah, Georgia, moving on into my loft in downtown Blue Ridge. And now I have one of the only legal permitted properties in the city of Blue Ridge inside city limits. So that's not, something that I want you guys to understand. Everybody's saying regulation's bad. Regulation is good, but even regulation can change on you. They could just say, hey, I'm tired of this shit. Blue Ridge, you know, Gulf Shores, Panama City, wherever, you know, we got residences here too. And everybody's going towards owning short-term rentals. We're not going to allow more than 70% of the city to be short-term rentals, because we do have 30% of owner occupants here that want to be here. And we don't want to run them off because we're not as greedy as people would think. So I just want you guys to understand regulation, whether it's a regulated market or not, whether it's a piggyback market, wherever, anything can change at any time through city council and mayor votes and things like that. So just be aware and pay attention and don't do what I did. Don't wait and wait and wait and try to wait it out until you finally get so scared you sell it. If it changes adversely, sell it, you know, as soon as you can and move on with your life. And I expect my properties that I own, I will probably never own any of them in the next 7-8 years. I will keep 1031 into bigger and better properties, and I'm going to keep rolling my portfolio forward. And over the years, I'm going to be selling off my lower income producing properties and replacing that for a higher income producing property. As I up level my 20 properties, I want to make, you know, $800 million a year income coming into a $2 million a year income and forward. I have a 5-year retirement goal. I'll be 40 this year. I want to retire at 45. Personally, from active business, I want to live off of passive income or as passive as I can get it and bounce around. My wife and I, our goal is to live in Italy for 6 months and bounce around in a couple of our properties here in the States. And we're not going to even have a primary residence for a full-time home. So that's my goal. All right. Another thing that I feel like people were talking about, they're scared about, you know, low inventory. Well, I already told you guys what you can do when you are facing low inventory and you're in mass adoption and people are purchasing properties and you're putting 20 offers before you get one accepted and you're getting buyer fatigue. What do you do? Well, I'll put it to you this way. In my market, everybody wants the property with a view, the $1 million, the $750,000 home to the $1 million home with a view. Many, many people, and you guys can go on to Southern Charm Vacay, vacay.com. I've got 13 of my 20 live. We're launching the other 7 in the next 45 days. I have going through a living hell at the same time, launching 7 properties in 45 days, but it's what I do. I traded flipping 20 to 30 homes at a time to launching at really 8 homes. So about a year ago, I only had 8 homes. And then I saw this opportunity with short-term rentals and everything I'm telling you guys about. And I've been compounding my wealth and I've been growing it. Now I'm at 20, and then I'm going to cap out at 20 and I'm going to up level it. You know, like I say, and through 1031s. But what I'm seeing is people are so scared of low inventory and getting buyer fatigue. And hey, I just don't want to get into this market anymore. I think I'm going to just forget about short-term rentals. Don't do that. I had a multimillionaire that I represented back before the recession. And he told me one thing that always stuck with me. If you are willing to do something different than nobody else is willing to do, you'll live the life that nobody else is going to have. And I'll be honest with you, it really stuck with me. And it still sticks with me. There's a book called Purple Cow by Seth Godin. If you know me and you've studied under me or listen to my podcast or whatever, I really love this book. Seth Godin talks about how to keep yourself remarkable, you know, different, setting yourself apart where nobody else can can touch you because you are so different. So imagine going down a road and you see a field of brown cows and everything looks like something you've always seen before. You're not even going to give it another thought. But on the other side, you see maybe one purple cow walking in another field. You're going to stop the car and you're going to look at the damn thing because it's remarkable. It's amazing. It's something you've never seen before. And I want you to understand that is how I think. So if it's low inventory, what am I going to do that most people aren't willing to do? And this may not be for you, but this will be for some of you. Well, most people just want to buy a turnkey property. They don't want to do anything because they're greedy. And I hope I don't offend anybody here. But at the end of the day, they're too busy or they're too lazy and they just don't want to do it. They want mailbox money and they want to be as passive as they can. And to be honest with you, to an extent, that's cool. I get it. I respect it because you're a busy professional and you're corporate America and things like that. And I get that. And maybe I have a different opportunity or mindset because I am full-time real estate. So I can completely understand that. And I don't mean to call anybody whatever, but if you put in a little extra work, you put in a little extra oomph, you do a value add, most people are overlooking it. I'm seeing it in my own brokerage and I'm seeing it in other markets. I can go to any vacation market that I want and I can see the homes that are distressed. They look like crap. They got tarps on roofs. They've got sky high grass, newspaper, piling up on top of each other, signs built off, bent up and, just been sitting there and they couldn't sell it because they're nasty. They're ugly. Nobody wants to deal with that. I rode up on a property that I looked at in Blue Ridge 6 months ago, and I'm about to launch a property that I bought just by driving up on it. I skip traced the property. I looked at the property's owner. I skip traced who the owner was, and we called him, and I got a $1 million home in LJ, Georgia for $450,000, and I'm putting $100,000 in renovations in it. And I got one of the, actually out of my whole portfolio, this has the best view. So look for properties with value adds. Another thing is, if you're in if you're working with a realtor, find somebody that is an investor. Don't find a realtor who is a professional realtor. They're trying to make money off of you. I tell all my clients when we work with them, I tell them that, look, a good name is better than riches. I just want you to understand, we want to help you out. We want to make you money. And we don't want to try to get you into something that we couldn't see buying ourselves. So work with somebody who has your heart, who is sincere, and who will serve you in that form and fashion. Another thing is we talked about piggyback cities. I think it's important to reference that again. As you're looking into these big markets, find out what those next cities are that are just outside of the big cities near you. So let's just say a vacation market, I'm going to Blue Ridge. If you guys don't know Blue Ridge, Georgia, look it up on a map. But we got all these neighboring cities and I can see that the growth is coming out as we're getting national, tourism from the whole, I guess the whole nation, we're seeing a lot of demand and there's a lot of growth and I'm seeing a lot of people come in and I realize that it's going to expand. It's kind of like Atlanta, Georgia is expanding. Well, we're not in a regional destination anymore. We're in a national destination. Actually, the world is round, other than being COVID, we're still in this for some reason, but you'll see that the world is round. Well, people are coming in from all over the place in my side of town. And I bet they're having that happen in your side of town. And what I want you to understand is as places are growing out, you save money by buying in these piggyback cities, you'll pay a lot less. And I think I saw him hop on. I think my friend, one of my former students, Evan was on here. I'm not sure if he still is, but he bought a property in a piggyback city in Atlanta. Blue Ridge, called Blairsville, and he got a crazy good deal on it. And he put a little sweat equity into it, a little bit of cosmetic rehab, and he put it on the market. And he got it about half the price for the same square footage than he would have in a Blue Ridge. So piggyback markets, if you're okay with chancing it with the regulation, like we talked about. Let's see, nightmare guest. A lot of people are freaked out about nightmare guest. And I promised you guys an hour, so we'll try to make this as fast as possible. But nightmare guest, you know what? Guess what, guys? It's part of the business. I had somebody lean into a shower door and it busted the tempered glass. I don't know what happened. He got all cut up. You might have saw the post in my group. And if you haven't seen it, go look for it in my Facebook group. But we just apologized to the guy. We said, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. And they basically leaned into it. It is what it is. It's part of the business, guys. I've had somebody flood my Savannah home before I sold it. I've had people die in, water bombs and color bombs into my hot tubs in some of my houses. Just recently, we had somebody I ain't gonna tell that story. I don't need to go off on a wild tangent. We've had some crazy stuff happen in my houses. If you watch my Instagram stories, you'll see from people throwing tampons and hitting the walls and stuff falling down to you name it. It's all happened to me. It's part of the business. You're going to see it. Thank God you're not the cleaner. And I recommend if you are thinking about being the cleaner, don't be the freaking cleaner because you don't want to touch this stuff. Keep your own personal linens in a closet locked for yourself when you stay in your home. That's all I'm going to say. But it's part of the business. You're going to be insured. You're going to be, you're going to have the proper insurance, not proper insurance unless you want to, but you're going to have proper STR insurance. So just know that you're going to deal with shenanigans, whether you're managing or whether somebody's professionally managing, somebody's going to have shenanigans in your house and it's part of the business. So just expect it. You're going to have to deal with it. And if you can't deal with it, you probably shouldn't get into this now. Just being honest. All right. So we just talked about the truth about new host. I think I've got like 15 more minutes to keep this thing moving for you. I'd be more than happy to expand on this. There was a few more things, but I'm going so fast. I mean, time is running out, so I got to keep moving. But I had a couple other points for the truth about new host that they don't want you to know. They don't want you to, I'll end it with this. Everybody wants you to think that short-term rentals is so easy. The honest reality is, no, it's not. It's not. I'm not going to lie to you. My wife and I are dying daily in this business. I see new things every day from lending problems to, appraisals not coming in good. We're having to combat that as well as having to think outside the box and buy in piggyback cities to deal with nightmare guests. But you know what? I expect it. And that's part of business. If the grass was greener on the other side, everybody would be doing it. Now, we did say mass adoption. A lot of people are doing this, but not everybody's doing it. Because they are afraid. Take that advantage and just understand that you're going to be dealing with stuff and have fun with it. I told my guy, Chris Boblett, who works for me, and I'll end this section with this. I told him the other day, I said, look, he's telling me all these stories. I said, you know what? I'll be honest with you. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't Chris. It was one of my former students. He was telling me, hey, I got my first short-term rental. This happened. What do I do? I said, dude, this is so funny, man. You and I are one of the guys that will laugh about this because we expect it. Just enjoy the stories, embrace it, and it's going to be fun. So that's that, guys. All right. The facts about scaling and why you must. We are going to talk about personal brand. Now, if you want to scale, if you want more than one property, I highly recommend that you got to implement the proper procedures, the important systems that will integrate into your brand, and it will grow you. It will grow you. Personal brand, I don't mean Brandon Thompson, the brand. I mean Southern Charm Vacay. Southern Charm Vacay is my brand of boutique homes all over the Southeast. And as we grow and sell off some of my properties and I buy into other markets, I'm going to have some of the best looking homes in the Southeast. And I was telling you guys, most people are buying the homes with the views. Some of those homes are some smaller homes. I've got a small set of boutique homes. Everybody's trying to get the big homes with the big views. I'll tell you where everybody's overlooking is the value adds, like I was saying. Then it's also the small honeymoon suite type of homes, two bedrooms and three bedroom homes with cool little things. You upgrade the amenities, but you may not have a view. And then the other one is luxury homes. You know, if you can bypass the middle where everybody's buying because somebody has 60 grand or 120 or 200,000 to put down, well, if you can spend 400,000 to put down for a 20% DSCR loan, or you can spend, you're willing to buy the Cracker Jack box and make it beautiful. Like I did, Southern Charm, vacay.com, VACAY. Go to that and see the cottage on the hill. That was a shit box I bought and I made it beautiful. I built my brand on homes that nobody else wanted to buy because they were too ugly or they just didn't fit the mold because it was a two bedroom, one bath. Well, guess what? I put a freaking extra bathroom in it. Now it's a two bedroom, two bath boutique home that we made beautiful. And I could probably sell it for $500,000 over an LJ right now. So find your brand, find out who your avatar is and what you like and build a brand around you. If you like college football, and I know we're going to have a Super Bowl tonight. If you like college football, then find houses in these college towns and the college towns that you love and build a brand around it. If you like Harry Potter, build a brand around Harry Potter, do whatever you like, build a brand. I like walkable, beautiful destinations and or worst case scenario. If I can't walk, to it, I can actually have a quick short drive of 2 or 3 minutes to the downtown areas. None of my homes are more than 3 or 4 miles to the downtown areas. And when I'm in the down areas, if I can't just walk out the door, most of them are, I'd say most of them are where I can walk out the door. you know, I do get to walk around. I see beautiful mountains. I see beautiful beaches. I see awesome, like, you know, city centers all within a walkable destination. And I got drinks and my wife and I love wine. We got coffee. I got places that I can bring my buds in. I got places where I can bring my wife can bring her friends in, and we embrace it. We enjoy, and we just have a blast. That's my personal brand. And that's what I want. Find out what your personal brand is and build that freaking brand. Build the brand. That's the purple cow. That's what you want. You want to create something that is so different that somebody's going to take notice. And when they see what you have built, that you put so much pride and time and energy and effort into it, they're going to see that it is different. It is remarkable. And they're going to be willing to pay you if you scale. Remember when I said we're going into 4.0 and the hedge funds and the REITs are entering into space? Mark my word, I know a few of them right now that are putting their PPMs together because I'm part of a group called GoBundance. These are like 600 men that are in a group together that are wealthy, very affluent, and different spheres of influence, different types of businesses. I know a couple of them are building a brand to buy properties right now in the short-term rental space as an opportunity fund. So that's something you need to understand. You want a brand that will make impact. Heck, go to my Instagram story. I posted one of the many, many, many reviews we got today, and it was awesome. You want people to honeymoon in your places. You want people to take pictures. You know, if somebody's going through a death in their family, they want a place, you know, that they can just go relax. That's your place. You want impact in their lives. You want to give that awesome guest experience. You also not only think about the guest, you want to have something that's a lifestyle asset for you. As you built this out for your avatar, you're making impact. You want to design your lifestyle around your travel and places that you want and freedom. I don't like properties in metropolitan areas that mean nothing to me. And I definitely don't want them in rural areas. And oh my God, I would never put them in suburbs. A lot of people are entering in the space because they have to be into short-term rentals right now. I will recommend that you don't buy in suburbs and rural. If you want to buy in metropolitan areas that are regulated, and there's somewhere that you want to go yourself. All right. So that's the facts about scaling and why you must. The end of why you must is if you do scale and you create that brand and it is backed by systems and you can prove the numbers with the proper bookkeeping, the proper marketing, the proper branding, then you have something that you can have a multi-million dollar exit strategy. And then let's tie that all back up to some of you guys who are just beginners or don't even have one. You may not even be able to see that yourself in the future now, even being able to think like that. But what if 7 years down the road, you built something, you got up to eight and you're like, man, this is really starting to make, six in my business. But you look 6 years down the road and you realize like, this is something that's really like just changed your whole epitome of your lifestyle. And your bank account's growing, you're like, oh my gosh, my net worth has really just doubled in the past few years. And I was doing this as a side hustle. What would happen if I could do this as a full-time, you know, thing? Like, that's what I'm talking about. And then realize that in four more years, you could walk away and I'm betting the horse on it. So, you know, I started my brokerage, STR Wealth Brokers, to go all in short-term rentals. I started five-star STR Success to teach people like you to go all in, or at least myself, to continue to stay accountable for myself to go all in. But I like educating because I had a former brand, REI Society, where I was teaching people how to flip houses and wholesale and stuff like that. And I was just kind of getting fatigued because I wasn't really passionate about it. But I'm so passionate about STR that awesome people like yourself are really changing their lives, and so on. So that's what I'm talking about, guys. This is fun. But you must scale because you can. If you do scale it to the point like I have, you can walk away with a really nice retirement. And we're not at the infancy stage anymore, but we are at the intermediate stage. What you're going to see probably after the next 2 years, as more and more hedge funds get into the space, everybody's going to get squeezed and you're going to be so glad that you bought property, you held on and you had this inventory because your balance sheet is going up with increase in net worth. All right. Last part, you are right along the real STR opportunity. I just told you guys, it's a smart choice. But let's talk about the five wealth generators. I just want you to understand that this is the right time to be in short-term rentals. For those of you who are just starting, is it too late? No, it is not too late. You are maybe a little behind, But if you have somebody that can hold you by your hand and help you get to the next level, just understand that you're a product of the five people you hang out with the most and the books you read. So just understand that. But if that's the case and you're not, you're maybe a little bit behind, but if you surround yourself with the right people and you get yourself to a point where you can grow this and you can do it right without making all the mistakes, well, you're in the right room. And that's what we're talking about here. So understand this, real estate has five wealth generators. Number one is cash flow. What can an extra $10,000 a month do for you in cash flow? What can an extra $1,000 a month do for you in cash flow? Hell, what can an extra $100,000 a month do for you in cash flow? That can change your life. Appreciation. Now, interest rates are going up. Brandon, they're not going to be appreciating anymore. We've already debunked that myth. Real estate is going up. We're in hyperinflation, in my opinion. This is like 1970s California, where California prices were going up so fast, everybody's freaking out. But guess what? It's a lot more expensive now. That's what we're seeing in the whole entire US. We're never going back. I honest to God don't think we're going for bust. I honest to God don't think we're going for recession. And I don't think we're going back in prices. Will we see a correction in the next 2 years because interest rates have gone up and they have to stagnate a little bit? Sure. But I would probably bet my cards that they're going to raise interest rates so fast this year, people are going to panic. They're going to probably lower them. I hope I'm the one that predicts that. I don't know, but that's my thoughts. I could be wrong, but I would almost say that they're planning on three interest rate hikes and it's going to screw up everybody so fast that they're not doing it slow enough. They should have done this crap 3-4 years ago and continued it on even through COVID, but they did that to do whatever. And I get it. But you have appreciation. I think we're going to have natural appreciation. And then if you choose value adds, you'll have forced appreciation. So you're going to be able to grow your net worth. Number three is the loan pay down. Like I told you, over time, as your guests are paying, you're paying your mortgage, your loan will be paid down. Unless you just have to, don't get an interest only loan. I did that back in the early 2000s. And then, don't do that. This is part, you might have to pay a little bit more because you're paying down principal, but you're going to be so glad if you held this property 4 or 5 years from now and you've dropped the balance by 30, 40, maybe more, $1,000. And as you've decreased the balance, you've increased net worth because of natural appreciation. It's awesome. And that leads to the next one, which is equity stripping. As you figure out you've got a legacy property that you want to keep, if you do want to keep a property forever, then as the balance goes down and the appreciation continues, now you can strip the equity. You have a bank account, basically an ATM at your disposal. I actually got a property I bought in LJ way back in 2018, so long ago, right? But the damn thing went from $200,000 to $500,000. Well, guess what I'm doing? I'm doing a 80% cash out refinance, and I'm going to put $200,000 cash in my pocket right now. And I only held it 4 short years. I never even thought it would go up. I wasn't even thinking about this market blowing up. I was just like, man, I'm making great cash flow in my own market. And I was having a blast before I went full time. And it was a meaningful property for me. It was a cabin, and I checked all the balances that I needed, and I got there. So that's what I want you to understand. Like, you're going to see this as you grow. You can strip out the equity through refinances if interest rates are low enough and it makes sense with the ADR, your average daily rate. And then you can put a few $100,000 in your pocket. If you own 20 like me, you do that once a year, you got a sure income, even though it's not income, it's equity, $200,000 a year to go buy more properties with. If I don't want to sell that property and use 1031s, because I do like that property and I don't want to sell it right now. So that's something that I can do right now. And I think as you guys do this, you'll see that. The last thing is depreciation. If you guys didn't see the podcast, the live podcast stream that I did with my accountant, Roger Herring, go back and watch it. It's in my Facebook group for those of you that aren't in my Facebook group, but you can call SEG. I'm just going to be honest with you. I made over $1 million last year and I can wipe out that whole bill and I don't have to pay a single dollar in taxes because of cost segregation. I have reinvested a lot of that money into five-star STR success. I've put that a lot of that into my STR wealth brokers. And I'm using a lot of that money to buy more short-term rentals. Like I said, we're actually launching 8 in 90 days. Now we've got 2 of them on the market and we're launching 6 more in the next 45. And I've done that by doing all of this. You can depreciate by bonus depreciation with cost segregation studies. And they're changing the laws a little bit next year. Talk to your own CPA or accountant. But you can also have even regular depreciation, dividing it by 27 and a half years. So whatever active income you make, you can actually reduce your taxable income and or pay no taxes at all. So that is it, guys. That is the real STR opportunity. All right, guys, I'm signing off. You guys take care. Talk to you later.